Well, hi, here we are. Back for a T11 after a little hiatus, a little bit of a break was taken. I've been pretty busy trying to figure out where we stand here on this whole thing, to tell you the truth. It's weird. I've been asking for messages. What do I want to do? Where do I want to go with all of this? I'm sure you're tired of hearing me and watching me go through all this. If you're watching on YouTube, hi, yes, I have a weird handheld microphone that I'm attempting to use for the first time. But yeah, I've just been busy. I've been really, really busy trying to figure some things out. I decided, though, I'm going to open up a gym just for Christians. I don't know if that's a little too specific of a thing, but a gym just for Christians, and I'm going to call it Jehovah's Fitness. Obviously, I have not been working on my jokes. Oh, God, that was stupid, wasn't it? Wasn't that dumb? Okay, well, hi. I have been taking a lot of time. I've been working out a lot more, which has been a lot of fun. I feel myself getting stronger even at this age. I feel like I've let some of myself go. And I haven't been real good to myself. I haven't been eating great, and I haven't been working out to the point that I need to. But if you're looking down here, let me go down here to the this thing here. I have a little calendar that I keep here, and I had the goal of doing 30 days straight in hopes of making working out hard. I mean, working out to. Like I had a real workout, not like getting out and exercising. I'm talking about working out hard. I figured if I did that for 30 days straight, that was going to get me further along into making it a habit, to where I don't feel like even have to write it down in my goal book to work out or my schedule book or whatever. And I am up to day number 19. As you could see, that being said, I missed a day. So I missed day number 17, so I skipped a day in there. So it kind of sucks. But I've been doing this a lot more, and I've been having a lot of fun. I've been eating better. I've been asking myself, I believe, the right questions. Where do I want to go in life? You know, when you start asking yourself, as I've talked about many times before, you start asking yourself the good questions, you get the good answers. But for the most part, I feel damn good. I feel good. My energy is up. I hate it when I hear people say this, but I have no better way to explain it. I am in what they call a flow state. The ideas are coming fast and furious, and I have to be very, very careful about picking out which ones are real, which ones might have legs, which ones to take action on. But yeah, I've been doing this. But for the most part, everything has been telling me to stop this podcast. The answers that I've been getting, everything has been saying, dude, just stop it. Refocus on what you really want to do. Ask yourself what you really want. Do you want to do another show with somebody else who has the same level of passion as you do for that show, that has the same vision as you do? And good luck finding that. That's very, very hard to do. But everything is telling me that I should just stop doing this podcast, that it did its course. It ran its course. I mean, the audience is growing slightly, but this isn't about trying to grow an audience. This isn't about trying to make money. Although if something huge were to happen, I'll tell you the truth. You know, if I had hundreds of thousands of people watching this and sharing this and doing all this, I would try to turn it into a job. And I would do it every single day for the most part. But it's just not to that level. But that's not the reason why I would stop doing this. I just want to stop doing this because it's weird. Sometimes now I'm finding myself, I don't have anything to say. I don't feel that I have anything pertinent to anybody's life to say. So all these messages were saying, just stop doing the show. Take some time. Even if you come back to it, it's cool. Nobody cares if you fail or if you succeed. Well, what am I saying? I'll get to that later. But yeah, that was a lie. That was an outright lie. Everybody cares if you fail or succeed. If you succeed, people want to jump on board. If you fail, they want to laugh their ass off at you. So, yeah. So, but everything was telling me that I should just stop doing the podcast. Like I said, take a break. So I actually recorded my very last podcast, and it was called How to Quit a Podcast. Now, how I record these things, I have to let you know of my process of how I record these things, and you tell me if this is a message or not, okay? I record these two ways. Right now, as I'm recording this, I have an audio thing that's being taped right now just so I could have it for podcast listeners only. No video, just podcast. And I use a thing called Adobe Audition. Right now, that's running behind me in the background. It's recording everything that I'm saying. Then when I would add video to it, which I don't know why I add video to it. I mean, hardly anybody watches it, but I wanted to have a video component to this as well. I use a thing called Riverside.fm for the video, which is really cool. It's supposed to allow you to broadcast live. People could watch you. I'm actually thinking about doing these shows live on my Facebook page. I think that might be fun to take some questions and whatnot. And, you know, but yeah, I record these in two different ways. So there's an audio file and there's a video file. Now, the audio portion of my last podcast, which I recorded called How to Quit a Podcast, was perfect. Sounded great. I went to the video portion. The video looked good. Well, as good as I could look. But there was zero sound on it. There was no sound. There was no sound. So I got a little confused. I had made the decision to quit the podcast. Absolutely made the decision. I was comfortable with it. I was sleeping well at night. I was very happy about it. I explained it in the podcast why and how and everything else. Had a real good tone to it. But all of a sudden, I couldn't get the audio to record on the video. So is that a message? Is that a message to keep going? I don't know. I get so in my head about things like this. I've never been one to like listen to a psychic tell me what to do, or you're going to get a white car instead of a blue car. Because, you know, I don't like giving my power away to anybody like that. So I always look from within, and sometimes I look from within so hard that anything could be taken as a message, either in support of doing something or in support of not doing something. So I'm a little confused right now. I don't know. I still don't know what's going to happen. But as of today, I'm still here doing this. I'm still doing this. I don't know what the next show is. Maybe the next show will be a remake of that podcast, How to Quit a Podcast. I don't know. But I just, you know, get into my own head about these things. So, and it's weird how I get into my head about these things. Let me tell you a little story about the Lex and Terry show and what happened last night. We decided to give our subscribers, our sudden death subscribers that we have, a little added benefit, that we would do these shows at night. We would record them, and then they would get it in podcast form. We could stream live on the Lex and Terry app so everybody could hear it. But you could only hear it if you're there at the time. You could only hear it in real time. If you want the podcast, you got to be a subscriber to Sudden Death. You get the podcast in podcast form. And we have always wanted to do something, not all of us on the show, but we had batted around an idea of one morning when Lex was gone, we turned down the lights in the studio and we decided, let's do an hour. Let's just do an hour's worth of people calling us and talking about all these strange phenomenons that are out there. UFOs, ghosts, anything that fits into the weird category. We wanted to talk about it. And we were blown away at how fun that truly was. And in my mind, I'm going, man, this would be a fun job. Working at night, turning the studio lights down, talking about stuff like that. I just found it really, really fun. And when we decided to do it last night with the Lex and Terry show, all of us came into the studio and did it. And I got to tell you, it was the perfect amount of dick jokes to compelling content ratio. It was really good. We're able to get in the great stories. The people loved us because they know who we are. They know we're going to joke around a little, but we also want to believe them. We want to believe them, and we want to give them that respect to get those calls coming in. And our listeners get it. So it's our listeners that really make that show. But it was a lot of fun, and it was really cool for me to be on board with the entire team. You know, Lex, Dee, Sarah, Taint joined us, myself, all of us were on board to do this. And I really see something here after that show last night. It was a blast. It was so fun to do. But now I find myself in this really familiar, pathetic, uncomfortable position, thinking about all the possibilities of one stupid little show that we did, while others may not be as excited as I am about it. So who's really in? Who really wants to pursue this on another level? And who's going to want to do it for the right reasons? And do we all have the same vision like I was talking about? And I'll tell you, it's very hard to get five people in this case on board with the same vision, because I will get blamed that we have to do it Terry's way, which is fair criticism. It's absolutely fair criticism. I'm a very visual person and I like things going the way I see them, but I also work with some very talented people who have their own creative process, who have their own vision, have their own ideas of what to do. And over the years, I have let go of a lot of my hands-on, you got to do things my way or the highway techniques. But for something like this, for something brand new like this, and for something to be successful, I think you all need to be on the same page. And who has the time to do it, who has the desire to do it, who wants to do it. And like I was talking about, everybody wants it if it's successful. I can't tell you how many people, when the Lex and Terry show became successful, wanted to jump on board. And these were some of the same people. When Lex and I would walk down the hall, people would shut doors on us. You could tell they were talking about you behind their back and, you know, saying bad things. Oh, they're never going to make it. And as soon as the show got traction, as soon as we started fire on all eight cylinders, or is it 12? I don't know. You know, everybody wanted in on it. So that's the problem that we're going to have with this show, because some of us may, and I don't know who, I'm not blaming or pointing fingers, but I just know the chances are not all of us are going to be on the same page with wanting to do a show like this on a more regular basis. Sure, everybody's going to say, I want the money. Everyone's going to say, I want the notoriety and the fun and all that. But who's really willing to do the work? Who's really willing to sit down and promote things and find stories? You know, it's very easy just to open up the phone lines and go, hey, tell us your story, and then rely on your talent of telling dick jokes to get you through. But there's a lot of work that goes into something like this, especially trying to take it to the next level. Who's willing to really do what it takes for a show to be successful? Who's willing to do the work for as long as you have to do it for free? I've been telling this analogy or story or folklore. I don't know what it is. I should probably do a little more research on it. The story goes, and it could be very well true. I think it's true. But there's a bamboo in China, a specific bamboo in China, that you plant it on a certain day, you write down the day it is, and then you water the seed every single day. A certain amount of water, every single day you water that seed. If you miss a day, it's not going to work. Okay, for 5 years, you're supposed to do it for 5 years without missing a day, like I said. Now, supposedly 5 years to the day that you planted it, and if you watered it every single day, you're going to see a single sprout come up, and then you're going to get the most beautiful bamboo. And now that I say this out loud, I feel like this is folklore. But I like it. I like the analogy. I like the fact that if you want anything in your life and you want it to be beautiful, you have to be consistent with it. You have to believe. You have to go with it. So I don't know what's going to happen, but I will tell you, that thing last night, I had so much fun doing that. I love talking to the people because they were serious about it, and they also were able to take the jokes. I think it's, like I said, a perfect combination of jokes compared to the UFO type of, you know, alien ghost stories out there. All the other people are so damn serious about it. And I want to be serious. It's not that I'm not a believer by any means. I want to believe. I want to see things like that. I've had a few things happen in my life that make me believe that a lot of these things can be true. And I just thought it was so, so fun. I don't know if there's a market for it. I don't know if anyone wants to syndicate it. And I don't know who on the radio show really wants to do it? And that's the sad part to me, because I kind of want to see where it goes. So there you go. All right, I got an email. That's another reason why I wanted to do this. I've been getting some emails from you that apparently don't want me to stop doing this podcast, and I do appreciate you for that. First email here, this is from Paul in Fargo. Paul says, "Hey, I know your showmates bust your chops all the times by saying that you don't take time to smell the roses and you don't take any pride in all that you've accomplished. To be honest, it kind of seems like they're dead on in their assumptions. Do you think that they're right? And if so, is this something you want to change?" We kind of just talked about that, but I have this theory, and I've always had this theory. And anytime I talk about sex and the hustle culture and all that, I mean, there's people get really turned off by the hustle culture, but I find those are just people that have never had a dream and that they're kind of lazy. You don't need to preach to people anything about hustle or about whatever. I think that if you want to do something, you'll do it. Some people are able to walk right into it and make things happen sooner than later, but I think if it's something you really want, you're going to do it. I don't think that successful people live in the past because they believe there's still a future. So, I don't like to sit there and think about all the great things that I've accomplished. Oh, we've got great ratings. We've got great this and that. I expect to have good ratings. I expect to have a great show every single morning. I expect this time. I expect miracles to happen. I've seen them happen. I know that this is the way the universe works. I expect this kind of stuff. Yeah, it puts me in a weird position. It really does. But I need this. I need this in my life because I want to believe that there is a tomorrow. I know a lot of people say that they want to live in the moment, and I think healthy people do live in the moment. And when you're living in the moment, I think you have more of a capability to maybe do those things, to appreciate more what you've created or what's about to happen for you, or all the good things that you've done. But I'm still always hoping for tomorrow. I'm trying to live preoccupy myself every single day with being around the people I love, doing what I love, and being able to create and have a little bit of fun. So hang on a second here. I want to, it's starting to get sunny in the background. I'm going to lower these drapes. Hang on. I don't know if this mic cord's going to, no, it's not going to reach. Just stay with me. All right. Just stay with me. Okay. We're lowering the drapes here. Thank you for dealing with this. I do need to smell the roses more. I think that I do, but I think that I'm pretty happy. I'm not walking around going, "Oh, we suck today," but I'm also very capable of saying, "You know what? We could be a lot better," which has led to a lot of arguments on our show, because when I say things like that, people start to think that I'm criticizing them. People start to think that I'm calling somebody out. And my point is, if you start to feel that way, maybe deep inside you know you're not covering your own ass. I know there's certain days that I don't bring my A game. So anyway, but I just think that the unhealthy people, the out of shape people, physically, mentally, you could be out of shape mentally as well, are just procrastinators. I'll get to it tomorrow. I'll do this tomorrow. I'll do that. So I'm doing my best to answer your question anyway. I'm doing my best to be happy, and I think I am happy, but people don't think I am. It's the strangest things. People don't think I'm happy because I don't sit there and go, "God, we're so good." I expect to be good, like I said. I expect it to be good. I expect it to be fun. I expect life to be happy. I expect good things. I don't go looking for bad things all the time, but they do crop up, professionally speaking. When you know that something was said wrong or done wrong, or you had a meeting about something and somebody forgets it, and anyway, I don't want to get into that, but I just see a lot of people giving up on their lives in their mid-30s, starting in their mid-30s, and here I am, pretty soon I'll be in my mid-60s, and I'm not giving up. I'm not giving up. Even if I was to quit the podcast, that doesn't mean I'm giving up. That just means I'm reorganizing, rethinking, because, you know, I just don't have it in me. I don't have it in me to give up. And it's not like I don't even want to call it giving up. I just don't have it in me. This is the way my mind works. I'm always wanting to do fun things and be around fun people. You know, some dreams are just dreams, and that's as far as it goes for many people. I don't want to be one of those people laying on their deathbed going, God, I didn't give it all my, you know, my best shot. I should have done this when I had. I mean, I have a lot of things I regret that I'll never be able to get back, but I can still make up for that. I can still fill that void by doing something right this second that I love and that I'm good at or whatever. I think I'm close to being in a happy zone. It's something I'm going to keep my eye on. Okay. So, Paul and Fargo, I'm going to keep my eye on it. Okay. I'm just kind of very afraid that I'm not going to live up to my potential. And I'm not even sure what my potential is. My potential to me is boundless. It's unlimited because any idea that I have, I see potential in it. The next email comes from Nellie in St. Augustine, although Nellie wrote down St. Augie. That's what the locals call it, I guess. Did I hear you correctly when you said that you were wrong by telling people to live their dream and to instead do something that they are very good at? Whew, that is a great question. That really is really, really good. In fact, some of these meetings that I've been having with myself lately are exactly about that. I don't ever want to dream so big in your gut. You're going, oh, that's just a big dream. But I also want to be one of those people that don't feel like they have any limits. So it's a very tough position that I find myself in. So I asked myself the other day, okay, what am I good at? What am I very good at? What have I been good at my entire life? And everybody has an answer for this. Some people can draw. Some people are good at woodworking. Some people are good at lending an ear for a friend. Everybody has their talents. And I think a lot of people overlook their talents. And I think we're given these talents for a reason. And I think we have to put them to use. My talents are not earth-shattering. I don't believe my talents are going to save the world. I'm not going to cure cancer. I wish I could. I'm not going to do any of that stuff, but I believe that my talents shouldn't be ignored. And I think I've got a couple talents that are pretty strong that have been with me ever since I've been young. One of them is that I have the ability to make some people, not all people, some people laugh. My mother, and this is the first time that I knew that I had the ability to do this. My mom, she had a very good sense of humor. I will give her that. So making her laugh was something that I really enjoyed doing because we weren't in a real happy home. My dad, when I was, you know, younger, my dad was very sick. He had, like I've said before, he had rheumatoid arthritis. He had two new knees put in, two new wrists, two new hips. And back in those days, it was brutal surgeries. And you know, they put him in, but they really didn't do anything. It's not like today where all of a sudden you got a knee replacement and they put a Band-Aid over your knee and you're running within 2 weeks. This isn't the way things were then. So my mother, and he also had some other inner things going on in his body that my mom really had to take care of him. She really had to cook specific meals. She had to, I mean, her life was dedicated to a guy who I don't even think she loved. I didn't see a lot of hugging, a lot of kissing, a lot of that going on. So if I ever made my mom laugh or my dad laugh or anybody laugh, to me, that was a time in the house that was much different than all the other times that were in the house. So I remember my mom was ordering some Chinese food. She was on the phone ordering Chinese food. I know that this is wrong, but please remember this. I was a young kid. This was years ago. And you know what? I would still do this today. Who am I kidding? Because I know that what I'm about to tell you did not come from a place of racism or being mean or anything like that. I love the differences of people. I hate the fact that the media or whoever you want to talk about, social media or the politics or whatever, everybody wants us to be the same. They all want us to vote for the same person. They all want us to wear the same clothes, to root for the same teams, to eat the same food, to pray to the same God. What a boring fucking place that is. Okay? What I'm about to tell you was coming from, and still does, come from a place of love. There's no hate. I don't say love, but there's no hate or ill intent to my story here, okay? So my mom's on the phone with the Chinese restaurant, and I could tell she's having a hard time ordering the food. So I'm in the background yelling, "What you want? What you want? Got many people here. Who are you up, lady?" And my mom started laughing in the background. She started laughing and she couldn't keep a straight face when she was talking to the people on the phone. And I was young and I was like, oh my God, I could not tell you how good that felt to me. I'm sorry to the Asian community that you had to be the brunt of the joke, but it made me realize that I have somewhat of a gift. And any time that I could make my mom laugh, whether it was like I would always try to impersonate, what's a guy in Taxi, Latka, you know, that type of stuff. I would try to do that. I'm horrible at voices, but I would give it a try. And I would do anything I could to make any family member laugh. I know that even today, in today's day and age, I have some cousins. My cousin Robin, who I don't talk to very much, but she was one of my biggest fans as I was a child. She's a few years older than me. And she just laughed at everything that I said. She really thought that I was funny. And it, you know, it feels really good to know that you might have a gift. You might be, you know, but comedy is like art. It's, you know, it's funny, it's funny. If you don't think it's funny, it's not funny to you. I mean, nobody, unless today's day and age, I think today's day and age, people are watching comedians now because of social media. Oh, they've got 300 million people following them. They must be funny. No, they're just good at algorithms. They're just good at talking you in and telling you that they are funny. What makes you feel good? Who touches you? Who makes you laugh? Who talks about the topics you like? To me, those are the funny people. But I just love that feeling. I love being able to make people laugh. So I think that I'm good there. So that was one of my answers to myself. I'm pretty good at telling jokes or coming up with funny things or looking at life from a different perspective or making fun of myself. I get it. Another thing that I think that I'm good at, and I've always been good at this, is encouraging my friends to explore who they are. And I've been very good at picking out friends who do the same for me. I feel the most alive when I'm having conversations like that with my family and friends. Not a lot of family members do I talk to about this, but my friends, my closest friends. And even on this podcast, I feel that I'm coming from the right place because I have made some things happen in my life. And I know how I've made them. And I want to support you. And I want to cheer you on. And I want you to do what you're good at. I'm starting to think that it's great to have dreams. It's fantastic to want to have a dream. But as far as making a living goes, I think you probably need to do something you're very good at. And if you have another dream along with that, whether it's to be an artist, whether it's to open up your own business, I think you need to do what it takes to learn about all of it and to practice and like that watering that bamboo every single day. Doesn't mean you can't live the dream or the life you've always envisioned, but ask yourself really deep inside, what am I good at? You're going to get the answers, and please do not kick those answers to the curb. They're right. Those answers are absolutely right. So give it a shot. Give it a deal. I mean, so right now I'm thinking, all right, I can make people laugh. I love having these conversations. I love not inspiring others. I just love encouragement. I love having a small group of people where we just lift one another up and the things that we talk about. And we give each other honest and good and truthful advice. Like if one of you were to come to me and say, hey, it's my dream to be a writer, could you read some of this stuff, which has happened to me before? I will read it and I'll give you my honest feedback. But my honest feedback doesn't mean that you should do what I say. So I'm very careful to point this out. This is just what I'm feeling. Ask a bunch of other people. If they are having the same feeling about what you're doing, chances are you're doing something wrong. I would always get complaints on the Lex and Terry show that I would eat. I would be chewing live on the air, and people don't like hearing that. I understand that. And my initial reaction was, F you, this is my show. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to do that. But after I heard so many times, I decided I was going to stop do that. You could learn so many different things just by talking to others. But don't give up just because you get a negative comment or because one show didn't have, you know, hardly any listeners or shares. That doesn't mean you're doing something wrong. That just means people haven't found you yet. Your people haven't found you yet. So right now, where do I go with this? Where do I go with the fact that, okay, I know that I'm good at making people laugh. I know that I'm good at encouraging others. And I love being around that type of atmosphere. Like I said, when I'm talking about stuff like this, this is when I feel the most alive. I wish I could talk like this to everybody all day long. And that's one of my goals. But I want to do it in a fun, lighthearted way where we realize, hey, who knows what's going to happen? I love these self-help people that take their life and what they do so serious, like they have the answers. You got the answers. I got my own answers. We don't need them or their course to tell us what to do. Yes, sometimes they will give you some tools and how to focus and how to get things going, but we don't need that bullshit. Knowing that I have these two things in my life that I could lean back on that I'm pretty good at, there are many roads that I can take right now. I could go just to the laughy thing. I could go just to the inspirational thing. I could write a book. I could stop a podcast. I could start a whole new different podcast with a whole different person. There's so many avenues to go down, but I'm going to try to keep it in that lane for now. I'm going to try to keep it in the, is it funny? Because that's what I do best. Is it encouraging? Is it encouraging? Is it lighthearted? I like that. I like that in life a lot. So that's what I'm going to be working on right now. And if you ever see that podcast come up and says this is the last podcast or whatever I titled it. What did I say? Oh, how to quit a podcast. If you ever see that pop up in your feed here, it doesn't mean I'm going away. That's not going to happen. I'm going to go away for a little bit and come back hopefully stronger and more focused with a good team. But that might be what happens. I have no idea what's going to happen. Are you even still here? Has anybody made it to the end of this fucking thing? Okay, guys, have a great weekend, and I really do appreciate you. Thank you very much.